This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
And now, America's number one show on pop culture and politics. This is the Michael Medved Show.
And another great day in this greatest nation on God's green earth. A great day where we are already rushing into the midst, believe it or not, of the struggle for the Republican nomination. The struggle for the Democratic nomination until President Biden does the right thing and announces that he will not run for a second term, something that he's not expected to do, because the assumption is that he will announce his candidacy for a second term shortly after the State of the Union address, which is coming up next week. Will that happen? What does it mean? And what about the notion that already there is the first significant challenger who has announced that she will formally announce her candidacy on the 15th of this month? That's Nikki Haley and many other Republicans, at least a dozen, who are either launching campaigns or saying they will be launching campaigns. Where does it all go? What does it mean for the future of the conservative movement and the Republican Party? Very few people better to talk to about that than my friend Paul Kangor, who is the Senior Director and Chief Academic Fellow of the Institute for Faith and Freedom at the wonderful Grove City College in Grove City, Pennsylvania. And he is also a professor of political science there and an editor at the American Spectator. Paul, first of all, have you seen any Chinese spy balloons up in the sky over in Pennsylvania?
No, I haven't. In fact, hunting season is over here, and I think the last time I did your show, Michael, I was literally heading out into the woods with my son for an extended deer season. But if I saw him, I could probably reach him with my crossbow. Let alone my 32 Winchester Special or something like that. But if I was in D.C. though, I'd be of no help because I don't have a concealed carry permit in D.C. So thanks to the liberals. But if I see one up here, I'll take a literal shot at it.
Well, I'm sure even if you had an AR-15, they say that the balloon is somewhere between 60,000. And 120,000 feet above the Earth's surface.
Whew. No, I can't reach that. I can't reach that with a crossbow. Yeah, I can't reach that with a. That I don't have an AR-15, but you're right. I probably couldn't reach that with a cannon.
Okay.
That's pretty high up.
Among your many, many books, you've written several inspiring books, and they're all great and worth reading about President Reagan. How do you think President Reagan would have responded? No, I don't think he would have necessarily just blown this balloon out of the sky with the risk of all sorts of detritus and remnants of the balloon smashing to earth and hurting people. How would President Reagan have responded more effectively than President Biden has done?
Well, it's a good question, Michael, and I think maybe the more important thing to say is nothing like this happened under Ronald Reagan, right? And I think that speaks to the fact that the Chinese feel that they can get away with this with Joe Biden, and maybe one of the only kind of parallels that I see to the Reagan era, September 1st, 1983, so that would have been about 40 years ago, when the Soviets shot down Cal 007, the South Korean airliner, which killed, I think it was something like 261 civilians, and including a handful of Americans who were on board.
Including a Congressman McDonald, right?
That's right. That's exactly right. A Republican congressman was on that plane. And so that was not a direct attack on the United States, and the Soviets, of course, didn't intend it that way, so it's very different from this balloon that's being used for spying. But in Reagan's case, Reagan was enraged by that. He was so angry, and Edmund Morris writes about this in his biography of Ronald Reagan Dutch, that Reagan literally put on his bathing suit and dove into the White House pool to cool off, to try to let off steam. And he was still so angry after swimming that Morris said Reagan got out his notepad and a pen while still dripping wet and wrote this speech where he just excoriated the Soviets, talking about them killing innocent men, women, children, and babies on that Korean airliner. So, but at the same time, Reagan was very careful about not to overreact in a way that could cause a war. And I think that that's the problem for any president. And Biden, I think Biden already said something like we will not respond to this, or we're not going to do anything that would cause further problems. And of course that's prudent, but with the Chinese relationship with the Bidens, the Penn Biden Center and everything else, they did this, no doubt, because they felt that they could get away with it, and they are going to get away with it. They're getting away with it now.
Okay, you're the head of a think tank, and one that I greatly admire and find indispensable, which is the Institute for Faith and Freedom at Grove City College. President Biden, after he left the vice presidency, was head of his very own think tank, the Penn Biden Center, the center at the University of Pennsylvania, even though it was grounded in Washington, which is, what, about 300 miles away from Philadelphia. It's not that close. But what's the essential difference between the Institute for Faith and Freedom and the Penn Biden Center?
Well, I can tell you, first of all, there are no suspicions about the Chinese bankrolling us. Yeah, that's for one thing. I'd say, second of all, we don't have nearly as much money. In fact, I'll just be candid, our budget is under $1 million a year. And as my friend Peter Schweizer's pointed out in his book that came out about this time last year, Red Handed, there have been tens of millions of dollars that have gone into the University of Pennsylvania from China, apparently, since the Penn Biden Center was started. And then I would add this, for a budget in our case of under $1 million a year, we put out probably more in 6 months, Michael, than the Penn Biden Center has put out in the last 5 or 6 years. And I had that same thought. What is the Penn Biden Center? What is it doing?
And how much money have they taken from China? They've taken us $58 million, something like that.
Yeah, that's the amount that's out there, and to be clear, it's not clear if that money is going directly to the Penn Biden Center, if it's going to the University of Pennsylvania. It's really not clear. And in fact, if you go to the website of the Penn Biden Center, which I did just to try to figure out what in the hell does this thing do, you go from page to page and tab to tab, and all you see is Joe Biden. So Joe Biden here, Joe Biden there, and in one of the first pictures that you get, there he is, and he's strolling with Chairman Xi near some bridge somewhere in Beijing. So whoever runs the Penn Biden Center, I don't know why they didn't take that picture down,
yeah,
but it probably shows the.
And they contribute much more, the Chinese, to University of Pennsylvania than to Harvard, Yale, or Princeton, right?
They do. That's exactly right. And Penn is considered one of the Ivy League schools. It's about, I checked the website of Penn before I wrote an article on this for American Spectator. Tuition and fees for an incoming freshman student at Penn is about $63,000 a year. And that doesn't even include room and board. So yeah, I always get a kick out of how these compassionate liberals who run these universities and tell us how much they care, want to charge your poor kids $63,000 a year in tuition to go there. And if you add room and board to it, what would that be, Michael? Probably $75,000-$80,000 a year?
At least. Again, this is something where even for all that money, they won't teach you about socialism and communism and capitalism the way that Paul Kangaroo will teach you at Grove City College, or that the Republicans were trying to teach the world in congressional debate today. We will get to that coming up on the Michael Medved Show with Paul Kangaroo.
God help me, I'm addicted to...
The Michael Medved Show.
In 1982, E.T. and Rocky III were tops at the box office. Joan Jett's I Love Rock and Roll rocked its way to number 3 on the Billboard charts, and Washington State got its last cut to the state sales tax rate. This is Michael Medved for Washington Policy Center. 30 years is a long wait for a sequel. With record inflation and skyrocketing prices, we're long overdue. After more than $10.5 billion in recent revenue surpluses with no sales tax relief, it's time. Go to OverdueSince82.com. Presidents, wars, electoral landslides, Middle East conflicts, third parties, the Constitution, the founding, the revolution. That's all covered in special Medved history programs, which can be yours free. You also get the ability to hear the show anytime you want and commercial free. Medved Plus membership at our website. Go to michaelmedved.com. Look for the banner and a special offer, 20% off, limited time.
Now's the time to join the millions of Americans who have changed the quality of their sleep with MyPillow. MyPillow is now offering a BOGO extravaganza on multiple MyPillow products. Right now, get buy one, get one free pricing on MyPillow bed sheets, Giza Elegance MyPillows, six-piece towel sets, and roll and go anywhere MyPillows, and yes, so much more. Just go to the Radio Listeners Specials page at MyPillow.com and use the promo code Medved. That's MyPillow.com, promo code Medved, or call 1-800-320-6280. That's 800-320-6280. Don't miss this incredible BOGO extravaganza at MyPillow.com. Buy one, get one free on select products. Remember, that's promo code Medved or 1-800-320-6280.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
First, we decide where we want to go. Then we need to know the best way to get there. Hi, my name's Adam Baratta. I'm the owner of Advantage Gold. We're the highest rated precious metals firm in the country. We teach people how to own physical gold and silver. Now, we've won the Best of TrustLink Award 4 years in a row because we educate our clients on how to buy gold and silver the right way. We don't pay celebrity spokespeople millions of dollars. We'd rather pass that value on to you. Call 800-900-8000 and speak with one of our experts. We'll send you a free gold kit along with my latest number one national best-selling book, The Great Devaluation. Call 800-900-8000. That's 800-900-8000. Get the best information, the best process, the best service, the best value. Call Advantage Gold at 800-900-8000. Call 800-900-8000.
Advantage Gold is not an investment advisor or a tax advisor. Consult with your financial advisor before investing.
Call 800-900-8000.
Who listens to radio at night? EMTs, truck drivers, law enforcement, and many other hardworking people just like you, buying products and services from companies just like yours. Many companies owe their success to radio. It's the engaging medium. Call 877-996-4327 or email advertise@gcnlive.com. That's advertise@gcnlive.com.
Couple of interesting things happen on the floor right now. You had almost, if you combine the number of Democrats who voted no and voted present, there's 100 Democrats that won't stand up against socialism. That's a real concern to me in America today. That wasn't a college vote on a college campus. That was a vote in the U.S. Congress that 100 Democrats couldn't say socialism was wrong.
why is the Congress of the United States voting on this idea that socialism is wrong, that it is a destructive system and one that we do not want in the United States? Basically to highlight that division among Democrats. One of the points that I make all the time for folks is if you're looking for a political strategy, you want a strategy that's going to unite your side and divide the opposition. And yes, Republicans can be totally united in condemning socialism, Democrats not so much. The House voted today on a resolution denouncing socialism. It was a bipartisan vote where the majority of Democrats, 109 of them, voted with every Republican for the resolution, while 86, as Speaker McCarthy just said in what you just heard, 86 voted against and 14 voted present. Does it surprise you at all that a majority of Democrats actually were willing to denounce the system embraced by AOC and Bernie Sanders and Ilhan Omar?
Well, I'm not surprised, and I'm glad they did. However, boy, that number rounds up to 100 nicely, doesn't it? 86 that didn't vote for it, and then 14 who didn't vote. And as McCarthy said, she had 100 current members of Congress, and not a college campus. I thought the way he said that is very clever. That didn't vote against it, and that's a very powerful point. And I know for some people on the left, they'll see this as political posturing. But look, even people like Nancy Pelosi, among other kind of more traditional Democrats, liberals they are in the House, they've been worried over the years, Michael, about the Democratic Socialist of America influence. And, you know, they've been worried. They've seen how people like Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, Ilhan Omar, in my area now, Summer Lee. I think there's about 10 members almost of Congress currently, the Democratic side, who are from the Democratic Socialists of America. And the way that they've been getting elected is by primarying traditional Democrats in primaries. So the Democrats know that this is a battle within their own party. And I, more to McCarthy's point, if trends continue this way, where every new Congress, every couple years, the Democrats keep adding more members who are Democratic Socialist of America members, you know, that number is going to maybe flip pretty soon. I mean, give it a half dozen years. And it would indeed be a pretty sad state if today's current Democratic Party, the party of JFK, RFK, who you knew, Michael, Robert F. Kennedy, and Harry Truman, if they couldn't vote on a resolution to condemn socialism. So I see his point. Good point.
No, and again, and the fact that they pushed it and that they got every single Republican to vote on the right side of that, because what's interesting is a lot of this has to do with something that Democrats talk about all the time. Right now, they're very obsessed that people should learn America's black history. And by the way, there are a lot of conservatives who agree with them, including this conservative. I think learning black history is important, but also learning political history in this country and learning history as it really happened, not as a means of propaganda for today. And as it really happened, socialism has been a flop and a disaster and has been harmful for ordinary people virtually wherever it's been tried. And the only countries that have done well are countries that may have embraced some socialist ideas at their outset, like the nation of Israel. But and this is something where people need to give Netanyahu some credit. When he spoke to a joint session of Congress when he was prime minister two times ago, he said there is no word for deregulation in Hebrew, but after this term there will be. And there is. It's a deregulation.
That's a great line. You know, in my comparative politics course here at Grove City College, we use the Heritage Foundation's Index of Economic Freedom. And the Heritage has been doing this now for almost 30 years. And when they first started using it, Israel ranked very poorly, like around 80, 90, 100. And in the Netanyahu years, it really shot up to the point where I think now it's closer to 40 or something like that. So Israel has gotten so much more free economically and, not surprisingly, because there's a correlation here, has become more prosperous as well.
There's no question about it. And by the way, my brother, as you know, has lived in Israel for 35 years.
Right,
and he started making fun of me at the time, which happened about 15 years ago, where the American tax burden is higher than the Israeli tax burden. And,
yeah, no, it's true. That's true. And I've even, I like wine. I'm a big, I'm a connoisseur of wine, but I've seen wine from Israel in the last few years that I hadn't seen ever before. I mean, you know, at least not in my lifetime. So I'm seeing more and more products and exports that are coming out of Israel. And also things that are harder to see. I think your brother is involved in this, right? Like the information technology.
Yes,
sector.
Yes. In fact, he's hosting an investors summit in Israel for high tech investors with 7,000 people from over 100 countries around the world, including a number of Israel's new open to Israel Arab countries.
And socialism is not going to get you that, right? Socialism, if you're doing socialism, you know, you're at the bottom of that economic freedom list with Venezuela, where it's a country that has oil, literally. Yeah, that's right. Venezuela has a country with oil literally bubbling up out of the ground, and yet they had people waiting in line for gasoline, not to mention toilet paper. You know, not to mention food. I mean, so that's not old history. That's current history. So if you can't condemn that, and I was thinking too, Michael, when you mentioned that, imagine if they put up a resolution in the House of Representatives to reject fascism, right? I mean, would there'd be nobody on the Republican side who would vote against that? And yet here we are with socialism, which is economically just as destructive. If not even more so. Of course, Hitler was a national socialist. The Nazis were the National Socialist German Workers' Party. Mussolini, the fascist Mussolini, was a Marxist. So yeah, they were all about big government control. They were socialists. But imagine 100 people not voting on a resolution or against a resolution on condemning fascism.
That is an excellent point. By the people, to get more information about Paul Kangor and his work and the work of the Institute for Faith and Freedom, go to michaelmedved.com, click on the banner together with a shield right over where it says Institute for Faith and Freedom. Go to michaelmedved.com. We will be right back on the Medved Show.
Do the letters IRS give you anxiety? I'm Dan Pilla. I've defended people from the IRS for more than 40 years. My book, How to Get Tax Amnesty, created the tax resolution industry and is responsible for helping hundreds of thousands of people. It can help you too. If you're a non-filer or facing IRS enforcement right now, your case is unique. You need real help, not cookie cutter advice. My clients get my personal attention. Buy my book at danpilla.com and get a free consultation directly with me. That's danpilla.com. Let's start solving your tax problem right now.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNLoans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNLoans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNLoans.com. That's GCNLoans.com.
USA News Update. The Pentagon is tracking a suspected high-altitude Chinese spy balloon over the U.S. Republican Congressman James Comer of Kentucky says no one knows much about the balloon.
Well, I have concern this is going to be another example of the Biden administration's weakness on the national scale.
The White House says President Biden was briefed on the high-altitude balloon moving over the U.S. airspace on Tuesday. Meantime, former Vice President Pence is calling on the Biden administration to shoot it down. The Arctic blast hitting the Northeast is leading to the cancellation of the Polar Plunge. An event scheduled for tomorrow in Port Washington, northeast of New York City, won't be taking place. Officials canceled it due to the wind chills that are expected to be 0 degrees. Elon Musk making more changes to Twitter. Musk announced the social media giant will now share ad revenue with creators for ads that appear in the reply threads. Dave Collins, USA News.
Radio? Why should I advertise on radio? There's nothing to look at, no pictures.
Listen, you can do things on radio you couldn't possibly do on TV.
That'll be the day.
All right, watch this. Okay, people, and now when I give you the cue, I want the 700-foot mountain of whipped cream to roll into Lake Michigan, which has been drained and filled with hot chocolate. Then the Royal Canadian Air Force will fly overhead towing a 10-ton maraschino cherry, which will be dropped into the whipped cream to the cheering of 25,000 extras. All right, cue them up.
Now, you want to try that on television?
Well...
You see, radio is a very special medium because it stretches the imagination.
Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
Wellness and self-care doesn't have to be complicated. So keep it simple and take good care of yourself with Sunny Bay Heating Pads. Our heating pads soothe pains in the neck, back, and shoulders while relaxing muscles and increasing blood circulation. Sunny Bay Heating Pads have always been made in the USA and hand-filled to perfection with the highest quality materials. Sunny Bay Heating Pads are the perfect wellness gift for loved ones or yourself. See all of our high-quality products at sunny-bay.com, including heated body pads, neck pillows, heated neck and body wraps, and our stress-reducing lavender line. They're all affordable, durable, and in stock now and ready for immediate shipping direct from sunny-bay.com. Read our trusted, authentic, and real reviews at sunny-bay.com or just search for Sunny Bay Heating Pad. To your good health and wellness from Sunny Bay.
Asking here on the Michael Medved Show and everywhere else, where is the balloon exactly? Well, we don't know, but the assumption is it's somewhere drifting along, bouncing along in American territory. How did that happen? Gordon Chang, the author of The Coming Collapse of China and the Great U.S.-China Tech War, and you can reach him at Gordon G. Chang on Twitter. He most recently tweeted, as the maneuverable Chinese spy balloon flies unimpeded eastward across the U.S., we look unable to defend our own airspace. Perhaps that's what China wanted in the first place, to make America appear incapable. It's time to show the Chinese and the rest of the world otherwise. Gordon, I appreciate your coming on a very busy day. Is there another aspect other than just trying to show up the United States, make us look pathetic? Is there another aspect to Chinese motivation for sending this balloon over here, or do you believe it was a mistake, as they say?
Thank you, Michael. No, it clearly wasn't a mistake. I mean, there are several different explanations as to their intentions. One of them is, I pointed out in that tweet, another one is that they're trying to provoke a war. We know that there is a second balloon coming our way. Canadian forces are tracking it. And the question is, why would they send two in such close proximity? Well, one explanation is that they do really want to go to war. They're trying to provoke us, and this is one way to do it. By the way, the first balloon is somewhere over Missouri, according to most recent trackers. You don't get that from the Pentagon. We heard from today the briefing that they won't tell us where it's going, except it's going eastward. But people are identifying Kansas City.
Right. I assumed that they had heard that Kansas City was in the Super Bowl, so they were going after it for that reason. Why would China want to provoke a war? It's not a war that they believe that they can win easily, is it?
Well, clearly the U.S. and its allies and friends and partners as a group are far stronger from a military point of view than China. But China views political will as the critical factor. And clearly China has far more political will than we do. And we can see this with an administration that is trying to deny the obvious. And yes, I blame Biden, but I also blame his immediate predecessors because they also had that view as well. We're at a point where we don't have a sense of urgency as to what's going on. But it's clear, regardless of what the Chinese intentions are, and it's always difficult to understand intentions, but we can see what the Chinese are doing. They are engaged in the fastest military buildup since the Second World War. They're trying to sanctions-proof the regime, and they're mobilizing Chinese civilians for war. So we have to and now they're provoking everybody. And we could go through a long list of things they've done since December. But the point is, this is a regime, regardless of what it's trying to do, and it's very hard to tell, but they are doing things that can lead to conflict. And we have to assume that we are going to be in a war with China in the very near future.
So do you agree with the timeline that was put forward by General Minahan with much controversy? It was a timeline that was basically endorsed by Congressman McCaul, who is the new chair of the House Foreign Affairs Committee, Republican of Texas. They're talking about going to war no later than 2025. You agree with that assumption?
Yeah, Minahan in that memo, which has been leaked, said his gut was that he'll be in war in 2025. I do not agree. I believe that we could be at war very soon, 2023. Now, we may still be at war in 2025, but it could very well start well before then. And there are people who have different dates, but the point is we don't know intentions, but we know what these guys are doing, and these guys are getting ready to kill people, specifically Americans. And we have a political establishment, Oval Office, but we also have the Secretary of Defense and 3 and 4 stars that have very little sense of urgency. Matter of fact, their plans are to make the U.S. less capable, smaller military now, so they can pay for the military of the 2030s and 2040s. That is very, very dangerous, because if we fight China, I don't think it's going to be in the 2030s or the 2040s. It's going to be this decade, and we need to make sure that we can go and fight tonight, as the phrase is, because that's very well where we're heading. And if things don't change, Michael, we will be fighting this decade.
Which is appalling. I take it that you do not share the point of view of some minority of the Republican caucus in the House of Representatives that is okay with cutting back defense spending. This is not the time to do that.
That is not the time to do that. I'm in full sympathy with people who say the defense budget is bloated and we need to get efficiencies. But now's not the time to make the military more efficient. Now's the time to build up ammunition stores. Now's the time to be building planes and tanks. Now's the time to be getting people ready, and it very well may be the time to go to DEFCON 2. We need to scare the Chinese, because if we don't scare the Chinese, we are on a track to go to war. Nothing's inevitable, but something's got to change to prevent this drift. And one of the things we can do is to try to deter China by making it clear that we are willing to fight. It is not clear to me that the Biden administration, nor the Pentagon for that matter, is willing and prepared to defend our country.
Wouldn't it have been, at the very least, to have Secretary Blinken call in the Chinese ambassador? I mean, we do have diplomatic relations with China. Their explanation of what happened is preposterous, right? I mean, this is not a weather balloon. and it didn't just drift over on its own volition into the United States. This was sent here, right?
Yes. What we learned from today's Pentagon briefing was this balloon is maneuverable. And that makes sense because it spent a fair amount of time over Malmstrom Air Force Base in Montana, where we have our intercontinental ballistic missiles. So that was no accident. And as we've learned yesterday, this is not the first balloon that has come from China. There have been a number of them over the years. Now, the Pentagon won't specify how many and when, but we do know that there are indeed more than one. Actually, more than two, because there's two right now.
And that other balloon mentioned by the Canadians, at what point, they say that the balloon will sort of linger in American airspace for several days. Do you expect that we'll still be talking about this on, say, after the weekend, Monday, Tuesday?
I don't know, Michael. I suppose that this balloon will, the Chinese will maneuver it off of the United States, and we may forget about it, at least until the second balloon. But clearly we should not because, as I mentioned, one of the logical explanations for this is that the Chinese want to go to war.
Which is the most chilling and formidable of all explanations. Gordon Chang, you can reach him at Gordon G. Chang on Twitter. And also we've posted some of his most recent commentary at our website at michaelmedved.com. We will talk about the divided reaction to what is clearly a provocation and that everyone should recognize as that at least. Coming up on The Medved Show.
The Michael Medved Show.
Okay, it's winter time, and that shouldn't stop you from going outdoors and enjoying yourself and getting some exercise. Relief Factor can help with that cause. Relief Factor is natural. It consists of fish oil and turmeric primarily and other ingredients that have been tested and shown to be remarkably effective. A Relief Factor can make you feel better and give you an opportunity to enjoy all kinds of aspects of an active life that you may have been prevented from enjoying in the past. Go to michaelmedved.com, click on the banner. There's a special price available for what is called a quick start with Relief Factor. You take these tablets, which are entirely natural, no chemicals, no preservatives of any kind. This is a wonderful product that we heartily endorse. Go to michaelmedved.com, look for the banner for Relief Factor. History repeats itself, and we're seeing that play out with inflation. When Jimmy Carter took office in the late 70s, gold sold for $140 an ounce. Can you imagine? By 1980, the price of gold topped out at $870 an ounce. Now, if today's market performs like it did when Carter was in office, the price of gold could skyrocket from $1,800 an ounce to $9,300 an ounce. This is Michael Medved for AmFed Coin and Bullion. Don't miss out on a great opportunity to purchase precious metals while the prices are still stable. If history repeats itself, we'll see a run on gold, silver, and platinum that will certainly drive up prices. Be smart. Buy now. At AmFed, you're dealing with specialists who provide you with personalized attention, honest information, and sound advice. You'll never be pressured into buying outrageously priced so-called collectible coins or anything that you don't need. 800-221-7694, 800-221-7694, AmericanFederal.com.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy.
created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices. Our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.
Do you ever get the feeling that the world is being held together with duct tape? Every day we're thrown some new meaningless drama in the fake news to distract us from the reality we're all about to face. Between the government trying to print their way out of debt, military conflicts, the disintegration of our most trusted institutions, and a looming food shortage, preparedness is no longer a choice. It's a necessity. You can trust My Patriot Supply. Our emergency food kits come packed with tasty meals, averaging over 2,000 calories per day. Get at least one kit for each person in your family. Self-reliance is the only alternative to government food lines. Time is running out. Become ungovernable. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and save on dozens of different emergency food kits while you can. These kits are in stock, ship fast, and arrive in unmarked boxes for your privacy. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com before the next crisis strikes. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Medved show, there's obviously been a great deal of tweeting and other social media back and forth over the spy balloon that is still somewhere around Missouri, Missouri, Kansas, right around the Kansas City area. And that has provoked a double shot for the tweet of the day.
Turn the page now to the internet.
I mean, wow, what a great smart tweet.
Changed his password so he no longer has access to his Twitter feed.
Did you send the tweet?
I did not send that tweet.
My system was hacked. I was pranked.
Donald Trump hasn't tweeted at us once, and I'm starting to get worried about him.
So we have a new tweet.
All right.
Can I do the honors?
Stand by. Tweet alert.
And the first tweet of this double shot on the Chinese spy balloon is from Senator Mitt Romney, junior senator from Utah. And he says a big Chinese balloon in the sky and millions of Chinese TikTok balloons on our phones. Let's shut them all down. He didn't say shoot them all down. He said shut them all down, which is, to me, one of the questions. And you'd have to ask an expert in balloons, especially balloons that cruise so high. This balloon, they say, is at least 60,000 feet off the ground. Why no one has spoken about actually trying to not shoot it down, which is an act of war, but to bring it down, to somehow send some other resources up there to bring this particular floating balloon down. The other tweet, which maybe has a suggestion of what exactly you could use, what resources you could mobilize to try to bring that balloon back to Earth, is from Eric Erickson. And Eric Erickson, who is the creator originally of Red State, if you may remember that, he writes, could we get a Jewish space laser on the Chinese spy balloon, please? And just for people who may be wondering and scratching their heads and thinking, what are you talking about, Jewish space laser? That was the source of... according to Marjorie Taylor Greene, she suggested that Jewish space lasers had started the wildfires in California, and which has no basis in the world to back it up. Speaking for no basis in the world, the chairman of the House Oversight Committee, James Comer of Kentucky, speculated about this suspected Chinese surveillance balloon that was flying over Montana earlier and has made its way to the middle of the country. This is Congressman Comer, clip 13.
This balloon never should have been allowed to cross over into the past the Pacific coast under the continental United States. Never should have happened. My concern is that the federal government obviously doesn't know what's in that balloon. Is that bioweapons in that balloon? Did that balloon take off from Wuhan? You know, we don't know anything about that balloon.
Okay, the idea that there are bioweapons in it does not appear to be taken too seriously, at least not by our conspiracy apparatus. The real question here is, what does the second balloon mean? And the most sobering thought is that this is a deliberate attempt by the Chinese, and this is what Gordon Chang just argued, that this could be a deliberate attempt by the Chinese to try to provoke a war. A political war is already going on here. And political war among almost everyone on every imaginable issue. But Carrie Lake is still concentrating on the issue that has impelled her continued participation in political affairs. She has been mentioned repeatedly as a potential vice presidential running mate for President Trump. He's not going to be running again with Mike Pence. There's no chance of that. And Carrie Lake has been suggested, Marjorie Taylor Greene, according to all reports, and she's confirmed this apparently through her staff, she would be honored to be running with President Trump. And this was Steve Bannon, who was a one-time campaign manager for President Trump and a White House aide, speaking with Carrie Lake about her position as she says, the duly elected governor of Arizona. Clip 14.
I'm going to Iowa. I'm from there. I'm going to be doing an event with Republican women in my home county, Scott County, and then we're going to do kind of a rally-style event in Des Moines. And I'm looking forward to getting back to Iowa.
You're not sending the signal there? You're not running for
vice president? What would that signal be?
You're not running for vice president?
No.
As governor of Arizona? As governor of Arizona?
I am the duly elected governor.
You are
we're
definitely
fighting in
court. This is a wind farm. She's a freaking governor of Arizona. Just deal with it.
Okay. She's taking the position that she is the duly elected governor of Arizona. There is also a strange argument that has broken out, and it's one of those rare arguments between President Trump and Speaker McCarthy. You could say the... would Speaker McCarthy be the most influential Republican in the country next to President Trump? Or is that Ron DeSantis already? In any event, the McCarthy was asked a question in which he apparently disagrees with President Trump. At least that became clear after he made his comments. He was asked a question about the claim by many that Ashley Babbitt, who was killed on January 6th, was a victim of murder. She was shot by a Capitol Police officer who was preventing her from what was an obvious attempt to break through a already broken window and go into the House chamber, which the Capitol Police were guarding at the time. This is the commentary from Speaker McCarthy, clip 7.
One of the first things Marjorie Taylor Greene said from the oversight dais is that Ashley Babbitt is murdered. Do you think Ashley Babbitt was murdered, or do you think the police officer who shot her was doing his job?
I think the police officer did his job.
Okay, and his job was to try to protect the House of Representatives. This all goes back to a much deeper question, and there's an important piece today that documents that in a radio interview yesterday, Hugh Hewitt, my friend, asked President Trump whether he would support whoever wins the party's nomination next year. And Trump announced his third presidential campaign in November. He faced a number of potential challenges. Trump's response about would he support the nominee next year, he says it would depend, it would have to depend on who the nominee was. The hesitation from Trump, writes Michael C. Bender, the hesitation from Trump differed from many of the Republican Party's top officials and most prominent activists. Several of Trump's critics inside the party, including Senator Mitch McConnell of Kentucky, the minority leader, have repeatedly said they plan to back the GOP nominee, even if that person is not their top choice. Bill Barr, who served as Attorney General during the Trump administration, called Trump's tactics extortion. In an interview in August with Barry Weiss, a political writer and commentator, "What other great leader has done this?" Bill Barr said, telling the party, "If it's not me, I'm going to ruin your election chances by telling my base to sit home. And I'll sabotage whoever you nominate other than me." It shows what he's all about, Barr said. He's all about himself. And the question here about Trump running as a third-party candidate or fourth-party candidate, people are trying to compare it to the election of 1912. But 1912 was very different because the President Theodore Roosevelt was running against an incumbent president of his own party. We will get to that and more about the future of the GOP. Can the GOP become a genuine working class party? That's a question for this greatest nation on God's green earth.
Hi, Fred Dwyer here. If you suffer from a serious chronic illness, heartburn, poor sleep, fatigue, brain fog, you need Balance 7. Balance 7 water improves the acid-alkaline balance in the body. The right pH helps unlock the immune system. It also allows for better hydration and nourishment during times of medication and stress. Balance 7 works. I know. I use it every day. Now you can try it free. Balance 7 is offering chronic illness sufferers a free gallon of Balance 7 water for the first 100 callers. That's an $87 value free. So call 800-793-9039 and mention my name, Fred. The first 100 callers suffering with a chronic illness get a free gallon of Balance 7 water. So call 800-793-9039, code word Fred, or visit balance7.com. That's balance, the number 7.com. 800-793-9039, code word Fred.
February is Heart Month. Every year for the month of February, to show our appreciation to Extendivite's faithful customers, we have a sale. If you would like to try Extendivite, now is the time to get a few months ahead and really give Extendivite the time to show you how it works. Most of Extendivite's long-term customers wait for this sale to stock up. People and doctors tell us about the unbelievable improvements that they have experienced in their overall health, not just the heart. Extendivite wants you to experience the power of these herbs. Get a four-month supply for only $115 for either the capsules or tincture. Please take advantage of this once-per-year sale and get healthy for life. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com or find us on Amazon.
Extend your life with Extend.